We continue our learning. We are in Chala Perek Gimel, Mishnah Gimel. We're going to speak about the halacha of separating challah from hektesh. There is generally an exemption. If your dough is hektesh, you makdish it to the Beis HaMikdash, you're exempt from separating challah based on the pasuk Merishus Arisov Sechem, your dough, hektesh is not yours. Or based on the pasuk, the phrase Arisov Sechem challah tarimu truma. We call challah truma. Truma means something that's raised up. So it's only when the safe separating the challah will raise it up. Do we call that, and now it makes it holy, but it was already holy prior to the separation of challah, so then there is no obligation. So the Mishnah here is going to teach us that the obligation, the exemption from separating challah from dough that is hektesh only applies where it was hektesh at the time that the chiyuv challah is supposed to set in. Could have a dough where it was already mixed together in the case of wheat flour, let's say, or barley flour, it's packed down, and the chiyuv of challah set in, and only then you made it hektesh, so then you have, of course you have to separate challah, because the obligation of challah had already been established prior to you rendering it hektesh. Says the Mishnah, Hekdisha isasha ad shalo gilgala, person redeemed, Hekdisha was speaking about a woman redeemed the dough before she mixed it. So now, the chiyuv of challah takes effect at the point when the challah obligation takes effect, so the dough is not hektish anymore. Why is it not hektish anymore? Because upadata, because you redeemed it. So now it's chulin. So then chayevis, says the Mishnah, the dough wasn't hektish at the time that the challah obligation set in. So that's why you're going to be chayev. And Michel Gilgalov data chayevis as well. Let's say you here's the opposite extreme. Here is where you made it, you kneaded it down, you made it into dough, the chiyuv challah set in, and then what happened? And only then did you make it hektish. So and then you redeemed it. The first one pointed out here, it doesn't matter that I redeemed it. Maybe it could be that we're just trying to, it's the purpose of symmetry, maybe other reasons why the Mishnah mentions that, but it makes no difference. Even if it's, you'll tell me it's hektesh. If Mishnah Gilgala, if I made it, the Chiyuv of Challah set in, and then afterwards I redeemed it, or afterwards it's the Chiyuv, now I make it hektesh, doesn't matter that I redeemed it, but I made it hektesh, still Chayevis. Why? Because the Chiyuv of Challah set in, that was the first example we gave. It already set in before you made it hektish. So it's chayevis. But hikdishata ad shelo gilgala. Let's say you made it hektish before you mixed it, before you kneaded the dough. The gilgala ha-gizbar. And the gizbar, who's the gizbar? He's the treasurer. So of course, he's the one who's mixing it together because you made it hektish. You gave it to the gizbar, gave it to the Beis HaMikdash. And he does, he is the one who mixes it together. And then he redeems it. So then Ptura, then it's going to be exempt, even though now it's redeemed, even though it's chulin right now. Why? Because at the time that the chiyuv set in, it was exempt. The fact that now it's redeemed doesn't make a difference. So all based on whether or not it was the chiyuv of challah set in when it was hektesh, then it's pater. If the chiyuv challah set in when it was not hektesh, so then you're going to be chayv to separate challah. Perek Gimel Mishnah Dalet says kayotze bo, something similar. So here is also true. The din that we spoke about challah is also true when it comes to trumos and masos. The pasuk says masar digancha, your dug on your grain, but grain of hektesh does not have a chiyuv of trumos and masos. And we mentioned in the past several times that there are two stages when it comes to the growth and development of fruits and vegetables. One is called the onas hamas, or so the chiyuv. Those two stages of chiyuv. One is onas hamasos, and we said different fruits and vegetables have a different onar, different time where it's called onas hamasos. That's when they become edible. And when they become edible, that's not gemar malacha. That's not the time that I'm obligated to separate trumos hamasos. That's just a time where, since it's considered a pre, it's considered a fruit, if I would separate trumos hamasos, it would take effect. Before onas hamasos, separating trumos hamasos on this little nothing, which is not even a fruit yet, is completely ineffective. And then, of course, there's the gemar malacha. That's the finishing stage where the obligation actually sets in. Now, to confuse us a little bit, there is a machlokas Rishonim, when it comes to the when it comes to the halacha of when we that the Mishnah is going to speak of, the Mishnah is going to speak of Gemar Malacha, and it's going to speak of Onas Hamasos. Now we know those are two separate stages that we just said. However, everyone agrees that the Mishnah is speaking about the same stage, even though it's going to use the phrase Onas Hamasos and it's going to use the language of Gemar, Nigmaru, etc. The only question is what stage, what's the rule and what's the exception? Meaning, which case is the Mishnah speaking about literally and which is the Mishnah not speaking about? So, for example, the Mishnah says here, Onas Hamasos. So one opinion, and so the one opinion says, when the Mishnah speaks about the particular stage of development, and it mentions Onas Hamasos, the entire Mishnah is speaking about Onas Hamasos. And therefore, when the Mishnah will then speak about Nigmara or Gmar Malacha, it also is speaking about Onas Hamasos. And others shouldn't say no. The Mishnah is speaking about, across the board, is speaking about Gmar Malacha. And when it says Onas Hamasos, that's not to be taken literally. The Gemar Malacha is to be taken literally, and when it says Onas Hamasos, it's borrowing that term, but really refers to Gemar Malacha. At least there's agreement that the Mishnah is speaking about the same stage throughout. Says the Mishnah, Kayotzeva, Hamakdish Perosav Achalovola Onas Hamasos. A person is Makdish his fruit to the Beis Hamikdash, make it Hekdesh, before it reaches Onas Hamasos. Now, what's Onas Hamasos? So let's learn the Mishnah that Onas Hamasos literally means Onas Hamasos. Good. So if you makdish your peros before that stage, ufid da'an, and you redeem them, so chayavim, they're going to be chayav in masros, meaning that they've reached this edible stage, and at that edible stage, we know that if you separate, it would be effective. So therefore, the fact that it was hekdesh, prior to that, the Mishnah is telling us that it makes no difference. There's going to be a chiyuv because you are only makdish the peros achelabol on asmas, and then you redeem them just like in the previous Mishnah. So if you redeem them now that they've reached onas hamasos and they redeemed the chulin, so they're going to be chayv in trumos hamasos because they're no longer hekdesh when the onas hamasos stage sets in, and therefore it's no longer hekdesh. And you're going to be chayvin trumas masos. Umishabolo nas hamasos ufidaon also chayavin. So just like the other Mishnah. If let's say they reach the onas hamasos, they've reached this stage, and so here the and then the person is makdish them. So if they've reached onas hamasos. And then the person, so they've reached Onas Hamasos, so they're already chayv in Trumas Hamasos. You making them hekdesh now is kind of too late to exempt them. So you're going to be chayv. The Mishnah once again throws the word in ufidon that you redeem them. Really makes no difference that you redeem them. Either way, you're going to be chayv. Why? Because they've reached this Onas Hamasos stage, this stage of development, where it would be effective if you separate Trumas Hamasos, and it wasn't hekdesh just yet. So therefore, it's not going to have the exemption of hekdesh. But hekdishon achalo nigmaru, and now we're going to translate lo nigmaru as haven't reached the onas hamasos, even though the Mishnah uses the language of Gemar Malacha. If you makdish them achalo before Gemar Malacha, meaning now they are hekdesh in when they reach the stage of onas hamasos, they're already in the hands of hekdesh. Ugemar and Hagizbar, and the Gizbar, the treasurer, does the Gemar Malacha. So as it's Hekdesh, Vachakak Pida'an, and then if you redeem them afterwards, Turin, they're exempt from Trumas Hamasos. Why? Shebishas Chol Asani. But Turin, at the time that they were Chayav, the time that the Chiyuv of Trumas Hamasos set in, they were Pater, because they were Hekdesh at that time. Now, of course, other Rishonim will explain the entire Mishnah that was speaking about Gemar Malacha. So all that would mean is that if you makdish your peros before Gemar Malacha, instead of Onas Hamasos, before Gemar Malacha, before they completely finish their processing, and you redeem them Of course, you're going to be chayav because they're redeemed. They're chulin now. And if they reach Gemar Malacha, and then you maktish them, well, they reach Gemar Malacha already. They're chayav in Trumas Masos right now. So you're going to be chayav. But if you maktish them, and now I can use the word nigmaru literally, if you maktish them before Gemar Malacha, and the gizbar is the one, you didn't redeem them yet, and the gizbar is the one who is doing the Gemar Malacha, so they're in the hands of the hektesh during the Gemar Malacha, so of course, even if you would redeem them later, they're going to be putted because at the time of their chova, in this explanation, the Gemar Malacha, they were putter from Trumas Umasas because they were hektesh at that stage.